Sister Mary Michael, it's so great to have you.
Thank you, Adam.
It was a lot of fun to be able to introduce you to all the men today.
Thank you.
And to welcome you back to Oklahoma. And just to be able to have a conversation with you. I thoroughly enjoy just like talking with you.
Thank you, Adam. Thank you.
It's a lot of fun. Now, for those who don't know, Sister Mary Michael, you're a Dominican sister out of St. Cecilia mm-hmm. in Nashville. And you are an experienced Dominican sister.
Well, that's a nice way of saying I'm old. Did you hear that? Did you hear that?
Well, in your bio,
It
said in your bio, it was like, it gave a number and it was like, I don't know. I should probably just say experienced.
I like being my age. I appreciate it.
Yeah. So what do you like to do? Like what do you do?
Oh gosh. Oh, well, on Fridays, I work with four-year-olds, so I work in a Catechesis of the Good Shepherd atria. Uh-huh. Atrium. I only have one, so there goes my Latin. and so I help four-year-olds fall in love with the Good Shepherd and for them to know that they are loved by the Good Shepherd.
Will you just give a brief overview of what Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is?
Oh, a brief overview, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so I did my doctorate work in this. Okay. I've written a book on this. I've given my whole life... Catechesis of the Good Shepherd is a Montessori, I call it a Montessori Hebraic approach to children's catechesis. So it brings an understanding of the child from Maria Montessori, who was a devout Catholic, mm-hmm. who was a Thomist. She understood the anthropology of St. Thomas Aquinas. And guided by Gianna Gobbi, who was the Montessori master. And then I also call it a Hebraic or Jewish approach. And the reason I say that is because you can see in the Catechesis of the Good Shepherd a certain pedagogy from the Old Testament and even the way Jesus brought people to himself. And so when I look at this work of catechesis with children, I can see, oh, that's exactly how God did it. This progressive, this incarnational, this gradual, this relationship. It's just the way that they do it that I think is just exactly what the church is looking for right now. So thanks be to God, I got to go study it. And then there was such a desire for the research that I got to do a book on it, and people are reading it, and I like to talk about it. So
it's almost a movement. I mean, it's just, I feel like it's becoming incredibly popular everywhere.
The new directory for catechesis that was put out in 2020, yes, the new directory had a few people who were trained in Catechesis of Good Shepherd. And so again, the church has been saying for years, if we want to bring people to God, we got to do it the way God did it. That's his pedagogy. And so, so the movement is gaining ground because we're beginning to put language around it. Mm-hmm. I think that was one of my desires of the research, to put language around it, to put church language around it, to help people to see that it actually is rooted in the heart and the mind of the church. So that's what I like to do on Fridays. The rest of the week, I work with Franciscan University and their Catechetical Institute. Uh-huh. And on the weekends, I come to men's conferences and talk to boys when they ask me.
You have an eclectic day. So you know, children, you're a Dominican preaching at a Franciscan university leading men's conferences.
Yeah. Oh, and I work with men in recovery. So, which is what today's talk was about.
Yeah, let's talk about that.
Yeah. So it's... Oh, gosh, yeah. So when I first got invited to come and speak at this particular men's conference, Ray had seen me give a talk at the John Bosco conference in Steubenville. And I had been working with these men in recovery, and I really mean working with them in the sense that I did landscaping, and I needed men to help me, and I prayed to St. Joseph for some men. And he sent me all these guys who were in recovery, and I'm like, I don't care. I just need guys to help. As I worked with them, I began to see something about them, which was a real beautiful honesty, sincerity, recovery. And I realized that there was something there in these guys that the church needed. So I took their story on the road and began to tell people about their story of recovery using the 12 steps and St. Ignatius of Loyola. They don't know what St. Ignatius, and, well, they do now, I tell them, but but it's really just good old-fashioned recovery of going from being stuck in certain patterns of behavior and letting God move us out of those patterns of behavior. So that's what today's conference was, I mean, the first few steps, I can't do the steps in a conference. Really, you do the steps with a mentor, with a sponsor. But I wanted today to put a spotlight on these steps and to speak to the men who really have taken my heart. You guys really captured my heart last time I was here. And to say there's a way that you can move through these patterns of behavior where you're stuck, where you're stuck. And they might not even be sins. They might just be like personality defects. Mm. You know, you just always have to be right.
I don't know any men like that. Certainly not in my house.
You know, I don't know any women that way either.
Yeah. So in your experience in doing this, have you found a universal application? I mean, that, you know, because all of us, the kind of the living life is a story of recovery.
Amen. Amen. Yeah, we're all recovering. We're all recovering sinners. And I think that's what gave me the push. So first it was watching the men, listening to them, and realizing that I had gotten stuck. I was stuck in some places. You know, I mean, I've been a sister for over 35 years, and, you know, I like to think there's no massive sin floating around. I mean, people tease the nuns about, oh, throwing popcorn at the priest again.
Yes, yeah.
Well, for us, no, we want to give Jesus everything. And so, yeah, I mean, no massive thing that would be embarrassing, I don't think, but, vanity, ego, control, manipulation. I mean, you name it. There's just things that you get. Laziness, unforgiveness. I mean, the human psyche can really get stuck. Mm. So,
yeah. No matter where you might progress in the spiritual life, but there will always be another. There's always a plateau on the horizon that you have to learn how to get beyond.
Yeah. Yeah, there's always a new place the Lord wants to bring us. But what you realize is the way the psyche works, the way our mind and our will and our passions work, is when we make choices and we repeat those choices, they become habits. And if they're bad habits, we call them vices. And those can make grooves very deep into our being. And Gerald May, years ago, wrote a book, Addiction and Grace. He was a psychologist, a Catholic psychologist. And I read that book and I thought, yeah, this is it. There's an addiction. He says that all of us have addiction, which means I make a choice, like St. Paul, that I don't want to do. Why is it that I do the things I don't want to do and I can't do the things I want? Well, it's because there's an addiction there. But God's grace can enter into that particular pattern of behavior and rewire it, and then it becomes virtue. But it's a lifelong process, and I just saw that with the men in recovery, this change of behavior, and I thought, I want to change this behavior. So I did the 12 steps, and then I did Ignatius. It's just, and I'm a Dominican, how about that? Because it's what the church has.
So are these 12 steps, are they... St. Ignatius, is he the one who wrote about them, or did you take? Are you taking these from his writing?
Well, that's the kicker. So, no. So, Bill Watson was an alcoholic who was trying to get himself out of alcoholism, and was kind of putting some things together. He was a Protestant. He didn't know Ignatius from anybody, but a Jesuit, Father Ed Dowling, came upon Bill Watson's work and said, hey, let's talk. And so so what Father Dowling showed is that this is the heritage of the church. So you're asking, how did this happen? Because the Holy Spirit wants people to be free, David. Mm. The Holy Spirit wants people to be free, and he wants them to be the icon of Christ. And so Protestant, Catholic, you name it. He's going to work with people and lead them to this particular path. So I say it's Ignatius, but we can stand on it just being the 12 steps. It's the same thing.
All right. So Are these the 12 steps?
It's the 12 steps.
The 12 steps that we've all heard of.
From the Big Blue Book. It's the 12 steps. So today what I did for my listeners is I just tried to point the direction to the 12 steps. I didn't do a whole lot with the spiritual exercises except to say they are there. That would be a whole nother, that'd be a whole weekend to take you through this step, and here's St. Ignatius. But I have a friend who's actually doing a book. It's coming out. I don't know. I think she's going to pitch it to Matthew Kelly, of all people.
Oh.
And that's what she's trying to show for the church, that, that actually these line up. Mm-hmm. These line up. And so it's a heritage for us. So people would say, why would I go through the 12 steps? Why don't I just skip over to St. Ignatius? I don't know that I have an answer for that one exactly.
Well, the 12 steps, they're very practical.
They are so darn practical.
Yes.
You can't get around them.
Yeah. And, you know, Ignatius, he wasn't specifically, his steps, his writing is practical too.
It
but
is.
But it's not written specifically for addiction or overcoming these, you know, wagon wheel ruts that you've carved into your soul.
And it's not written, it is written for that.
It is for that.
No, it is for that. Right. No, it definitely will pull you out of those ruts. That was his whole point. But what I find is that it's, the 12 steps are an access point. That as we saw today, mm-hmm. the response of the men today, everybody can say, I get that. So I could have done Ignatius, but it's just a lot to get unpacked. The 12 steps are really so accessible.
Can we read, do you have them? Can we just kind of touch on some of them?
Yeah, I don't know them by heart.
Okay,
even though I've done the steps, I don't know them by heart. But I do have a little hand in here that I gave out at the group. So the first step is we've admitted that we're powerless. And because this is Alcoholics Anonymous, they say powerless over alcohol.
Sure.
But today I didn't tie it to alcohol. Mm-hmm. I tied it to patterns of behavior, resentment, envy, control. I mean, you name what's going on. If I'm not the icon of God that I'm supposed to be, then I'm powerless. And so... and then our lives have become unmanageable. And that can also catch people off guard because you think, well, I'm doing okay. I've got my family. I've got my career. I've got my... But anytime you lose your cool, anytime that you lose control, it's unmanageable.
Yeah.
That moment right there with your children, with your spouse, with the guy who just cut you off on the road, if you can't... If you don't have control of your emotional response, now emotions are emotions. Mm-hmm. I'm going to get angry. I'm still going to get angry.
Right.
But how I respond, if I don't have control of that, I'm unmanageable.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, our appetites, our passions, if we're not the one controlling them, then you're not, by definition,
in control.
You're not managing. Unmanageable.
You're not.
Yeah.
And this isn't kind of a Pelagian, like, I will do it myself. It's a sense of my emotions, my desires, my intellect, and my will. The virtuous person, those are all going in the right same direction. Okay? Mm-hmm. So that first step is just like, I'm powerless over this. And it's coming to an honesty, an awareness. You're not hiding anymore. No secrets. And what I said to the guys today was, you know, we go to confession, we confess our sins, but still that's pretty secretive.
Yeah.
Whereas when I was with the men in recovery and I would go to their meetings with them and I'd listen to them and they were just, I'm Sam and I'm an alcoholic. I'm tired of hiding.
Mm-hmm.
And then I was at another meeting and someone said, you know, I'm a manipulator. And I thought, I have never in all my years heard somebody stand up and say, guess what? I'm a manipulator.
Wow. Yeah. I mean, talk about disarming yourself. Because when you say that out loud, well, it's going to be hard to manipulate people now. I mean, you're like posting it on Facebook over here.
Yeah. So there's a real transparency that I just came to really admire. You know, recovery isn't my ministry. I just know what I know. What I've seen from the fellas, I know what it's done in my own life, doing the 12 steps. I know what's to gain, and I want to share that with anybody who will listen.
Is there a...
We just did one step, so...
That wasn't even two steps.
That was just one steps, everybody. But, you know, I mean, it's pretty long to go through all of them.
Yeah, you know, do you know of any good resources? You know, like, gosh, it seems to me like this would be a great process for an examination of conscience. I mean, obviously, an examination is kind of part of this process.
Oh, yeah, step four. Made a searching and fearless moral inventory. Hmm. Searching, fearless, going inside and looking, what am I doing? Why am I doing it, really? And then step five is you admit it to someone else, not your priest. Mm. You admit it to somebody else who holds you accountable. I think it's pretty radical, actually.
Yeah, because, you know, I'm just thinking about myself and how many times I've had to have this conversation with myself where it's like, hey, we've talked about this. I thought we decided last time that we were done with that, you know?
And I hear you. You're talking to the choir.
And it's like, and then, you know, later on you think back, why did I even do that? That's so dumb. And it's like, I keep having, you know, the same thing.
It's the same Paul. Why do I do the things I don't want to do? And I do the things that I, and so there, so I have always prayed about that and thought about that. And it's quite an examination, you know. Of course, St. Thomas Aquinas says, if you want to be a saint, just will it, right? So just bring your will to that. But what he meant was, do you want to let go of these things? Do you really want to change your behavior? Because if you do, God can do that. And that's one of the steps, David. It's so beautiful. It's a prayer, step six. We are entirely ready to have God remove our defects of character. And the prayer is, God, help me to be willing to let go of these things to which I still cling, that your will and your purpose may take their place.
Yeah.
Right? Just so anytime you find yourself, whatever that pattern is, oh, here it comes again. So what I say to myself is, I can't take that drink. I mean, I'm not drinking. I didn't do the steps because I drink. My sisters don't. But I do. I did the steps because there's patterns of behavior I just couldn't seem to change. Mm-hmm. So when the temptation came to complain, manipulate, control, compare, I just said, oh, I'm not taking that drink. Mm. And I treated it like it was a shot of vodka.
Yeah.
I'm not taking that drink. Because if I take that one drink of criticism or gossip or manipulation, then I'm back in that pattern of behavior. So what I've learned, I can only tell you my story.
Sure, yeah. You know, I have often thought to myself, imagined, you know, maybe there's a, just like I have a guardian angel, quite possibly there's a demon assigned to me to, you know, achieve the opposite effect. Who knows? Whether there is or it doesn't matter, but, you know, that they know me also, and they say, all I have to do is just dangle this like little thing in front of it. Watch. This is hilarious. You know, like this, this thought, this idea. And here I like a cat on a laser point, you know, and it's me. I'm the one making these choices, but that they know that this is, it's that drink. It's that whatever it is, mm-hmm. That I have to, you know, it's like, I will to become holy, but I guess I don't want to become holy, you know, because I have these desires that are other, that actually seek other things.
Yeah, you're preaching to the choir right now.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's, and again, here I am. I'm a religious sister. Like, I signed up for this. I love the Lord. I want this life, mm-hmm. right? I've always loved the Lord. And I just found a spot where I just need a little something else. We had a priest who came to us, a Dominican father, Emmerich Voigt, and he does this work. But I found, and I listened to him, but I thought, I don't have an addiction. I just have a bad temper.
Just Irish. You know?
Just Irish. And then I realized, no, because if I can't not do that, if my will is not free enough to not choose that, mm-hmm. Well, that's the definition of an addiction, according to Jared May.
Sure.
And I thought, okay, then. So then let's do the steps. Mm-hmm. And it was a good process for me. It's not for everybody, I suppose. I don't know, but I had a priest say, no, sister, I think everybody should do it. It's good. But I think for the fellas today, all I was trying to do is, the last time I was here, I encouraged them. I told them how wonderful they are. They're masculine genius. I told them how what Satan does is he distorts your goodness. And I kind of left it hanging like, okay, thanks, sister. Now what do I do? So when Ray asked me to come back to this conference, Ray Hayfield, I said, Ray, so I need to show them how to move from that disorder to reorder their intellect, their will, and their passions, how to reorder that with God's grace. The 12 steps are a path and a plan to reorder. And again, if 12 steps isn't your language, well, then go do St. Ignatius, but you're going to get to the same. It's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's the same
it
thing.
It just kind of reminds me of the idea that grace perfects nature, you know? And so the 12 steps, they remind me, it's maybe a very natural approach of, hey, let's just take you as a person, you know, and let's kind of help fix some of these things. And then grace can really do a lot with that.
Well, grace is doing the whole thing through it.
I mean, it is.
I mean, grace is the very first, I can't do it. That's right. A grace right there. I can't do it. But yeah, I mean, that's the whole point is, yeah, grace perfecting the nature. But our nature is disordered. And so, but I just don't think we've always been so, we're not fearless in our moral inventory. And to be fearless is, I'm not hiding anymore. Mm. I'm not hiding more. And you think that's funny because like everybody else knows your sins.
Yeah.
But do you really know them? Or are you still making excuses? Well, I did that because the minute you start, I did this because, and try to blame it, you're in trouble, but you're in trouble. You're in trouble.
Sister, you will appreciate this story. I was recently sitting with Adam and our buddy Juan around a fire, having a glass of scotch and a cigar or smoking, or, you know, having like a real men's evening, like good conversation. And I told them, like, guys, I recently had this realization about myself that I have very strong opinions and I'm like very opinionated. And they just started laughing. And I was like, thinking like, I kind of realize this. And they thought I was kidding. And then they realized I was serious and they laughed even harder, you know. But it's like, yeah, what do you think they don't know that they know? Yeah. I'm the one who's blind, you know. Yeah. That's why you need good friends.
Oh, you need good friends. And that's part of the recovery. The 12 steps, there's a fellowship that happens. It's what you guys are doing here at the Oklahoma Men's Conference is this fellowship, this accountability, connecting with each other. I can't tell you how many men stopped me upstairs afterwards and said, Sister, thank you. I needed to hear that. Mm. I really needed to hear that. Some of them were, I'm struggling. And they said that. And so I had about 6 desire chips in my pocket that the guys gave me.
Oh.
And I gave him a desire chip. Uh-huh. And he said, so here's your first chip. Because they get, you know, these steps.
I don't.
So the steps, they celebrate. It's a gorgeous story because it started with a nun. Sister Ignatia was a religious sister.
Her name was Sister Ignatia?
Uh-huh. You can't make this up. You can't make this up. And she what hospital? With Cleveland? The guys would come, she'd admit them into the hospital, and it was really alcoholism because she saw it as a disease, a spiritual disease, a chemical disease, and she'd give them the Sacred Heart badge, and when the fellows would leave, she'd say, now, you hold on to this, and when you feel tempted to drink, you hold that Sacred Heart badge, and if that's not good enough, you call me. Well, from that, because, you know, 12-step isn't necessarily a Catholic thing, came into this chip, and they give the guys this little, looks like a poker chip. Mm-hmm. And they give it to him. They said, hey, if you feel tempted, hold on to it. And so so the desire chip is simply that first step where a person says, I want to change. I want to change. Mm-hmm. Can you help me change? It's profoundly grace-filled, like what you said. I'm strong. I have strong opinions. That was a grace.
It was, yeah.
That's the first step. Now you're on the journey of help me. Every time that temptation comes to you, help me, Lord. Help me let go of the things I'm clinging to, that your will and your purpose can take its place. I don't know, David. I'm just...
Well, sister, I'm so glad that you took this approach because I think most people they've heard of the 12 steps, but I have never considered the benefit of walking through that myself, which, you know, Google it, look them up. I'm sure they're posted everywhere.
Oh, they are. Yeah.
And read through them. I would just challenge guys to read through them and see if there's any of those steps that terrify you. You know, if when you read that, if you go like, ooh, you know, think about that. Why is it that that would, you know, why is it that's causing that cognitive, what's causing the cognitive dissonance in your mind? Maybe there's a reason.
Yeah.
I'm going to do it too.
Yeah, you should. You should. Yeah. And there are people out there who have aligned them with Ignatian spirituality, But fellas, I think those of you who are listening to this, the one thing I would say that I said to the guys here, God has made you for a particular mission. He's got such a beautiful mission and a purpose, and we need you to be a man, a man's man, full of the grace that God made you to be. And Satan's not gonna leave you alone. So he will look to get you off kilter, to put any kind of disorder in the way you think, the way you choose, or the way your passions go. So I dare say that's every one of you listening, because that's the human drama. It's the human challenge. And it's time to do something about it. It's time to do something about it. Find your path. Find your plan. Take that first step.
Thank you very much, sister.
God bless you.
God bless you, too.